It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. All thanks to the Hyundai Staria Load Van. You can drive away in a Staria Load Van from $49,490. T's and C's apply. Good afternoon. However you're chiming into the back line, it might through SEN on the Gold Coast, Brisbane, Sydney, whatever the case may be. We are very, very grateful that you've chosen to share with all the options out there a little part of your day with us. So thank you very much. A shout out to the Run Home podcast listeners as well who are listening belatedly. I just ran into a bloke. We're at Hackle Stadium. He said, mate, I don't get to catch the show live. I said, we'll pop into the box. He said, no, I'll catch up on the podcast. So you know who you are, Justo, and we'll chat to you tomorrow. We won't chat to you. You'll hear us tomorrow through the podcast. Have your say, 1300-01-1170, or slide on into the DMs. Social media, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram is the way to do that, or the old school email. You can go joelandfletch@sen.com.au. And you can have your say. Now, look where I'll tell you what, listen up. It's a very eerie feeling here because we, and I say we as in myself and the great Bish, Michelle Bishop, we are parked probably about 32 metres away from the southern uprights on the western side of the ground. And the ghost of Accor Stadium, you look around, and right in front of us, my memory is, and I'd be interested in yours, Michelle, at this ground, my memory is right in front of us near this 20-metre stripe, Jonathan Thurston is just buying his time. His heart rate's up because Morgan's just come up with one of the great passes late. Kyle Felch just scored in the corner. Brad Fittler, who's commentating for Channel 9, is right there jumping for joy. Wow. And we're about to see Jonathan Thurston from out on the chalk. Ray Warren has the call. He moves in and it's taken a steelwork. That's exactly where we are, Michelle, at Accor Stadium. What a great privilege.
Actually, yeah, pinch yourself. We're being paid to be here. And how good does this pitch look? Obviously, it's in great condition, not as heavy as what everyone was anticipating.
Yeah. Quite often to win a premiership, there's just one or two pieces that come in. And the Sharks in the past have been criticised for not having the completed pack. Well, fan favourite, Tommy Hazelton from the Cronulla Sharks, he's going to join us. Looking forward to him, Michelle?
Very much so. I'm looking forward to getting a little bit more of a feel for the Sharks because they have gone under the radar. Yep. Their preseason, no one was talking about them. That is, has, you know, Craig Fitzgibbon's hands all over it, obviously, because that's how he likes to operate, the quiet achiever. And just, I mean, you know, how they've just been able to continue to produce the goods there. I think they are the real deal.
Morning Glory host, Matty Johns. He's the real deal. He's going to join us. And this lady who, not just for women's sport, not just for rugby league, but for sport in Australia, Ali Brigginshaw is going to join us. And she always, every chat I've ever heard with Ali, very insightful, and you leave the conversation for the better of it. Can't wait to catch up with Ali Brigginshaw later this afternoon.
Fangirl, you know that, don't you?
Oh, you love her.
Oh, it's just that I love the fact that these women are able to do what they do. I was not able to. We never played footy. The opportunities weren't there. And I just think that they're doing a mighty fine job, and there's a whole host of young girls growing up, and they've got something to aspire to.
Before the show, Ali Brigginshaw. Yeah. I'm going to make a little challenge for myself. I'm going to try and keep you sidelined as long as I can. I'm going to ask as many questions as I can.
You won't do it.
Just to keep you at bay.
Trying to keep me quiet. Are you kidding yourself?
Keep you at bay. Sydney FC's Ryan Grant's going to join us as well. But listener, you know the drill. You make the show. 1300-01-1170 is the way to have your say, or text 0457-736-736. Without further ado, we are at Accor Stadium here. But the tourist, he's keeping the ship afloat at SEN HQ. And he's there, he's fresh, he had a day off. And they're long Thursdays for the tourist. He's like myself, we're here from about 3 o'clock and we take you through to 11 o'clock tonight. But the tourist is ready to go again. Hello, mate.
Good afternoon, Joel. Good afternoon, Michelle.
G'day.
Have you been here before, tourist, Accor Stadium?
I have. Is that the one out in Parramatta?
On the way to Parramatta.
on the way there.
Not Combank.
I've been to Combank and I've been to Allianz. I've not been to Accor, no. I've been to the Easter show. It's the one next to the Easter show, right?
Yes.
I've been to the Easter show, but I've not been to Accor Stadium itself, no. Michelle,
I walk a couple more meters.
And Michelle, I tell you today, I know you guys are out at the stadium, but in the office today, the wonderful people at Elianas, or however they're supposed to say it, they looked after the office today.
That'd be right when we're not in there, Joel.
Yeah. Well, when we're not in there, but who sneaked in for a little chicken wrap on the way to the stadium?
Yeah, inadvertently.
Inadvertently.
Is that part of this diet?
Well, I came out of the lift, Michelle, and the lift's open. We've got the new studio now, so it's looking quite grandeur,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah, yep.
And straight away, it is chockers with people. And I could see all this food, and I went, oh, maybe I can slide into this. And I said to one of the guys, I said, what's going on here? They said, we're celebrating your ratings of the show.
Oh, and we didn't get invited.
I said, would that be a good idea to invite us to said celebrations? Mm. And there they are devouring the chicken, as you said, tourists, which was lovely.
Oh, yeah.
But how'd you spend your day?
It's only a reward if you're not in it.
Speaking about this bloke, asking him where he's been, it's a bloody stupid question to ask because he once said to us, this is a bloke all the way from Scotland, he was looking at homes in Mascot.
I know this story.
I said, oh, you like Mascot tourists? He said, oh, mate, never been there. Going tomorrow, looking forward. I said, hey, unless you got here by boat, you've been to bloody Mascot. Any luck with the house hunting tourist?
No, I saw somewhere nice in Leichhardt yesterday. Would love to live in Leichhardt, but no, nothing that we're going to be putting an offer in on. And if I talk too much about houses, then any real estate agents that are listening are going to be copping one because...
Does that annoy you? You know when you put in, you're kind of sort of half interested in buying a property or whatever, and then they've got your email, they've got your telephone number, and they just absolutely hound you for the next, 2 or 3 months till you give them please don't call anymore. But not only that, if you're trying to buy a house, we're trying to do something similar in Queensland, and they don't give prices. So you don't know whether it's 800,000, 1.2 million, 4 million, you're just going in there blind. They play the game.
I play the game.
I don't like that game.
I cannot stand
it. I'm such a loser at that game.
I don't know whether I'm the A grade for this, but a couple of weeks ago, I text an agent on a Sunday, which maybe I shouldn't have, but then she got snippy at me because I text her on a Sunday asking for the price of a property. If you put the price of the property on the website, I wouldn't have to bloody text you on the...
Precisely, but no, it's all about taking your information, your data, your phone number, so they can just flood your emails. Your inbox goes berserk, and it's very frustrating. But shout out to all the real estate agents out there this afternoon who do a mighty fine job.
My mate Tiny, he's a funny man. He loves his racehorses, but he's a funny, funny man. He once told the story, he's a big guy, and he had this waterfront that he had to view, and him and his stable mate, Kieran, they go all the way down the bottom. But what the usual trick is, because he's a bigger fella, man, Tiny. So he says to Kieran, you go down there and check out the waterfront and the boathouse and all that sort of stuff, and I'll wait up here. But the owner insisted he came down. So that's fine getting down. But then when he came back up, he was a muck lathering sweat. Right? And the owner refused to do any business. He said, Maureen, that's the wife or whatever the name was, get me a towel, Maureen. Get me a towel. They're all sitting there on the table. She said, he goes, we will not be advancing until Tiny, your real name, has a shower. So he was forced, as an agent, forced to go and have a shower in the house, and then come back out and then sit there. Yeah, exactly right.
That's weird.
Another open house that he had.
I hope they didn't have cameras in the bathroom. Tiny.
Imagine that, though. And he tells, funny bugger. But another time, he did an open house, and I think it was something like, on the advertised price, offers over $1 million. And it sold for like 1.7.
Oh.
And then this this guy turned up and put in an offer for like $1,000,050 or something, and clearly missed out because it went for that 1.7. And the next day he got this long tirade email talking about personal things about his body shape and all those sorts of things. He said, "Why don't you just say offers over $1.50 a peanut?" Like, as in, but some of them are a bit too far away.
100%. Now I'm not going to say who did this, but we happened to be at an open home once. And it was on acreage, and the person I was with, who was looking to buy a house with me, so that's all I'm giving away, needed to go to the toilet.
Oh.
But it wasn't just a little, wee.
Yeah.
And so he waited, and he said it was like, something about Mary, sweating up, gotta go, gotta go. So he waited for the agent to go down and open up and bring some more people through to the property and he used their bathroom. I was like, you can't do this. You cannot do this. Put the toilet paper back right. Don't. And obviously it wasn't the greatest smell.
Oh, no.
But he was obviously okay to, you know, chill and look at the house after that.
Unbelievable.
Could have turned into anything.
Could have been anything.
You can't do that. That's unethical.
You can't do that. Hey, big show coming up. The last 42 coaches, Michelle. And this is where I did this tirade yesterday around players have got to be accountable as well. I'm not going to go back down that path. But of the last 42 coaches, how many came out and won the next two games in a row of the caretakers?
Is it 15 or something?
But to win the next two.
Right.
So only 15 had won the first game. But to win the next two of those 15, only six could back it up.
Right, okay.
So it's not always the bloody tonic that you think.
This is an unusual scenario too because they are playing Penrith.
Yeah,
even without Cleary.
And the thing is, Cleary, we understand, is taken out of the game because of the potential for a heavy track. Mm. I've got to say, Michelle, there's a little bit of cloud cover, not so much, but right now, the field here at Accor Stadium looks like a good four.
Mm,
no, it looks like a good track, doesn't it? Which
I
don't personally think suits South. As a player, you never got real tired in the wet games. It was kind of an easier game. Everything was a bit slower. The speedster were back to the field. And I kind of felt like, oh, if there's a bit of rain around, South Sydney get back into this. I don't think they're anywhere near as fit as Penrith. But with a heavy track field around it, it would play into their hands.
Level playing field. I'll tell you what, I was listening to Bozza on SEN a little bit earlier today and him being a player that's been very much in the same position as the South Sydney players. He said he was hoping that they were driving home the other night, feeling every bit of and asking the right questions. Did I contribute to the demise of Jason Demetriou? He said he's very much been in that position. And so often you do see them, a quick turnaround, I guess taking some accountability for what's gone on. So this will be very interesting to see how this one plays out tonight, just how much soul searching's been done, because you can't heap it all on the coach. Obviously, he's the man in charge. He's been moved on. But I'll tell you what, there's some players that need to, have a good hard look at themselves and hopefully change things around for the side tonight. For the fans as well. That's who I feel sorry for, the fans that get out there, rain, hail or shine. They buy the memberships, the jerseys, all that sort of stuff. They owe the fans.
What crowd do we get tonight?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Well, I'm thinking that people would have thought it would just be a bloodbath and the fact that it was going to rain. So I wasn't expecting a huge crowd here tonight.
Does the coach demotion or sacking?
I think it has little relevance.
To the crowd number?
To the crowd number.
So whatever it was going to be, it would be. It's not going to cause more people to come or less people to come.
Yeah, because I don't know. It's a bit of a lottery. We just don't know. Where's the crystal ball?
Nathan Cleary's going to hurt the crowd. He'd be worth a few, wouldn't he? Mm.
Yeah, a few hundred.
yeah. Well, just on tonight. So you've got the incumbent, I've shared this before, where I don't believe we've ever seen in State of Origin a healthy incumbent man of the match not make the team the next time round. I don't think we've ever seen that. Cody Walker's under the pump. Cody Walker is tonight playing against Jerome Luai, who he may be the front runner to take his job. So I went away and did some homework around, okay, who are the main contenders? And I personally think Matt Burton's the one. I personally, if I was Magic McGuire, and he also plays at this stadium, which they'll get a crack at, he's the one for me. Big body, almost a man of the match in the first Panther grand final. I just feel like he's the one. But I could be wrong. But when you look at the other three main contenders, you've got Cody Walker, Jerome Luai, and you've got Nicho Hynes.
Yep.
If you purely just took two metrics, which was how many try involvements have each of them been in, versus how many have they been attributed for what's caused a try cause. So you've been involved in letting that try in. Nicho Hynes is very profitable. So he's try involvements versus try causes. He's well and truly in the black.
And where are we seeing Nicho?
So as the six.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Mitchell Moses, of course, but he hasn't played enough games to run this metric by it. But he'd well and truly be in the mix. And I understand that Madge has an interest in him. But when you compare Nicho versus Cody Walker or Luai, just on those two metrics, and they're all sort of playing left-sided players, it's a Nicho landslide.
Mm, right. I love you and your stats.
He's way in front of them on just purely those metrics.
Now, I'm going to throw something else at you. When I don't have a concussion, I'm not ill. I'd love to hear what our listeners have to think about this. So we talked about the fullback position yesterday. Dylan Edwards, Trbojevic, Tedesco. Had a conversation with someone last night that was listening to the show. What would you feel about using Teddy in the number nine with Coruscant? Not Coruscant not playing the entire... So say having Teddy as the 14. Yeah,
don't hate it.
I like it.
Don't hate it at all. Look, and you know why I don't hate it? Because, mind you, if Coruscant went down early, I'd have less love for it.
Yeah.
But I don't hate it because he's got a big engine, Teddy.
Yep.
So get
Appy on, get the sting out of the game, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I've never looked at the text board yet, but there'll be people blowing up saying it's a little...
Oh, no, they'll think I'm mad and go back to the kitchen.
No, I don't hate it.
Water off duck's back.
Yep, I don't hate it. The other option is a Pappy or someone at 14 who pushes Teddy into that role. I don't hate it. I'm really open-minded to whatever they're going to do, but I just feel as though... A, the game's flying, Las Vegas. I do believe that the increased participation from the women, from the females, is massive for this game. And all that, the star power, Vossi's been talking about, is Reese Walsh the biggest name ever in the game? It might be right, because back in the day, we didn't have the female participation as much. And now that's a tsunami of the game's flying. And this is going to be potentially the biggest Origin series we've ever seen. A game in Melbourne, a game in Queensland, a game in New South Wales. And, the star power, it's...
It's an exciting time for the code.
Massive time. Massive time. We're going to catch up with Ali Brigginshaw. There are three State of Origins with the women this year, so looking forward to that. But just so much to talk about. Matty Johns, if you've got any questions for Matty, you can put that on the text line as well. 0457 736 736.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, bloody oath. Let's do it. But what's your... I haven't asked you this question in relation to Vossi. Is Reece Walsh the biggest name that's ever played the game? Social media, he has the biggest reach.
He asked me this in breakfast on Monday morning, and I tend to agree. I mean, it's not just a girly thing.
No.
Like, we can laugh and joke about his face being scarred, and oh my goodness, he's, you know, model material. He's a very talented player off the field. I remember watching him last year. Pre grand final celebrations, and like, he almost looked like he'd had too much red cordial. He wasn't embracing the moment. Yeah. He's all over the place and that. So the attention part he finds a little bit awkward, because there were girls yelling out at him and everyone else was being presented with, you know, their jersey, that sort of stuff. It was an awkward situation for him. And he's done all this at such a young age as well. So he's had to embrace all of this. He's had a pretty dysfunctional background in terms of growing up. He's become a father quite young. A lot of responsibility early. I still love the fact, and I know this because I've done plenty of interviews with Reece, so I know a fair bit about his history, but the fact that going to the Warriors and then coming back, it was just, he had the relationship breakdown with his partner and he had to be with his daughter. He just wanted to be in the same state, same place, regular contact. And that's a big thing, to have that as a priority as opposed to, you know, getting out of the football field at that age. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, ticks plenty of boxes for me. Sure, he's been a rat bag on the odd occasion, but he's grown up in the spotlight. Yep. And I mean, we've all done silly things.
Yep.
Probably, you know, not necessarily to that extent, but as I say, he's growing up in the spotlight, had quite a difficult upbringing, and he is, everyone knows who Reece Walsh is.
Hardly breaking news. NRL players are going to make more mistakes in life than the regular person. Why? Because just to play the game at this level, you have to be somewhat of a risk taker. Mm-hmm. It has to be in you for you to have the gumption to turn up and play this game every single week. So
also, Joel, like, this is, I bang on about this, and I think everyone starts to go to sleep, but I've obviously got a lot to do with SG Ball, Jersey Flag, those sort of boys. The injuries that they start to get from such a young age, the sacrifices they make, and I'm talking, you know, not going on holidays with their family, not going to weddings. They are big sacrifices in the scheme of things, because these are, you know, milestones in people's lives. As I say, injuries and then being able to come back from injuries. Some of these kids have done 2 and 3 ankle reconstructions by the time they're 18 and 19. And I challenge anyone in the general public to have the resilience to get back up and go again. And you want them up, up, up for 80 minutes to be these absolute beasts on the machines on the field. And then you get upset when they have a few beers after and go a bit silly. I mean, come on, I'm going to go a bit silly on the wine sometimes.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. and we hope you do. Well, we don't hope you do, but if you do, 6 to go, play on. 1300 01 1170. Kev loves Teddy 14. He loves that. Plenty more still to come. It is the run home with Joel and the Bish. Have your say. 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736 for the Hyundai Staria load. van. You can drive away in a Hyundai Starry Load van from $49,490. T's and C's apply. We're off and racing, but remember, you make the show. Welcome back to The Run Home with Joel and Fletch, with Michelle Bishop here, or a Spartman, or Sparty. He thinks it's the real estate show because he's trying to sell his house by the program, Michelle, trying to make bids to the tourist off air. Yeah, 14, Teddy's getting a bit of support.
Yeah, not bad, not a bad idea. Actually, the person who I had the discussion with rang in the break and he's taken all the accolades, so
yeah.
Whatever.
Text from Justin from the Gold Coast likes it as well. Teddy, number 14, says Kev. Well, the old thing for Jack Gibson was just pick your best 17 players and they'll all work out a position.
I do love Michelle. I like the Teddy idea, but go back to the kitchen anyway, Pedro.
Oh, yes.
I told you, mate, I burn toast. I'm no good. I'm that bad mother in the kitchen.
But you know there's hope though, Michelle, because when we went to England...
Yeah, there was hope when they gave me a microwave. You can't put spaghetti in the microwave, apparently.
Kobe, who is a genius cook now.
Oh, I get
genius,
jealous.
Genius. But when we first started dating, and we lived in Manchester and the ceiling's quite shallow, quite small.
Yep.
I swear to God, I was convinced for a period of time that she used the smoke alarm as the timer. Honestly, every meal, as soon as the smoke alarm went off, I thought
we were
good to go.
I know it well.
Sugar question, why don't Abdo do his job and sort out the fantasy rules committee? And Zach, I think he's talking about what Gus said. So Gus was talking, this is Bondi Jack. Gus was talking about, which I do agree with this rule. Gus was talking about that if you knock the ball on the in goal, how the hell is it a 20-metre restart, 7-tackle set? I 100% agree with that. What Gus did say, it's the biggest punishment in the game. I don't agree with that. You know what I think the biggest punishment in the game is?
What?
When you do something as trivial as, you know, you're in possession of the ball and it's an accidental, say, obstruction. So you have the ball and it's an accidental obstruction. I don't believe we then have to layer it with a kick for touch. That, to me, is the biggest punishment in the game, where you've got possession of the ball, somebody's inadvertently got in the road, has hardly impacted the game, and then all of a sudden, instead of you having the ball on the halfway line, a couple of tackles later, kicking to the end goal, the other team's got a penalty from the halfway line. That, to me, is the biggest punishment in the game. I just think any time you're in possession, unless you've bloody hit someone, it should just purely be a handover to the other team.
You do know he's in trouble again.
Gus, yeah.
Gus, yes, he's been sanctioned. I rang him this morning and said, well, if you need to be spanked, let me know.
Yep.
I'll be there.
Will ya?
We can get it on camera.
Really? You'll take the paddle board.
Didn't get too excited. I was like, oh, thanks.
Oh, was he not?
Yeah, no.
Oh, come on,
but,
Gus.
Yeah, in trouble again. What was it? Well, is he bringing the game into disrepute or something?
I think
he called it stupid.
Yeah, some of it is. Like, just, I do agree with that part of it. Dropping the ball, like you're centimetres from scoring a try. Centimetres, millimetres.
Well, I think he's just speaking on, I mean, you know, people are going to think I'm being biased, but I think he's just speaking on behalf of what the fans are saying. And let me tell you, they're saying more than stupid.
Yeah, but I reckon most fans would agree with any errors, like errors as in with the ball, trying to catch a contestant a ball, knocking the ball over the line in try scoring position. I think most people would accept a handover on the 10 for the other team.
Yeah,
20 metres, 7-tackle set. I totally agree with him there. Kicks going dead. Yes, I like that. And that sort of takes out the, when you're playing the good fullbacks like Billy Slater, where people would purposely put it dead because they'd rather just have a set line on the 20. So I agree with that part of the rule, but that's an easy fix. And I know the NRL might be sanctioning him, but I think they'll probably come around to what he's saying, because what he's saying there is 100% right. 1300 01 1170. Let's go to Ballarat where Chris is. Hey, Christopher.
Afternoon.
Hey, Chris.
I rang up a couple of weeks ago and suggested Teddy to 14 at the Roosters for the Harry Grant, Ben Hunt situation at State of Origin level. I'd actually start, if you think Teddy's in the best 17, and I think there's debate there, but if you think Teddy's in the best 17, start him in the 9 and bring Appy on after 15, 20 minutes, the way the Maroons bring on Harry Grant after 15, 20 when the Sting's out, and just absolutely, I like the idea of starting with your strongest makes sense, but if you can inject a in the Queensland case of Harry Grant, or in New South Wales case of Appy Coruscant around the ruck, and they can just cause havoc. And I think Miko would be good in that role because he did it at the Storm when Harry was at Tigers for the year. Whenever someone was out, it was always Nico stepping into that 14 role, playing the the dummy half minutes and stuff like that. So
untried, Chris. You couldn't start Teddy at nine, because I could promise you everything under the sun that Billy Slater would send every tackle at him.
Yep.
It's a different kind of fitness. It's a little bit different than coming off the bench after 50 minutes when the ice is broken, so to speak. But I get what you're saying.
And the reason for me with the Teddy at the 14, I mean, I said Nico and yesterday, I get that. But I just feel like he's kind of got to be there. This will be his last sort of, you know, hurrah. And there's just so much competition at fullback. That's mine. And I just think leaving him in to roam and do what he does. And as I say, get Appy to get in there, get the sting out, take the sting out of it, whack him on, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, it's a very, very... It's a good scenario for him to have, Coach Madge McGuire. I just don't know.
Do you think I should text him?
Have a few first. Maybe do some influencing at the same time. 1300 01 1170 is a way to have your say or
Thanks,
text.
Chris.
Tommy Hazelden's going to join us. Matty Johns is going to join us. Ali Brigginshaw of the Broncos. Sydney FC's Ryan Grant. That's all in front of us. All thanks to the Hyundai Starry Load Van. Drive away in a Hyundai Starry Load Van from $49,490. T's and C's apply. Run home with Joel and the Bish on your Thursday. We've got the call tonight. South Sydney Rabbitohs taking the Penrith Panthers. What can we expect tonight from the South Sydney Rabbitohs? Well, bloke, you'll have a fair idea. He's standing by, so let's do this.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Here he is, the coal miner. Hello, Shawnee.
Happy little Friday, guys. How are we? I like your little track update before, Sugar. Now, I've been studying. You know, I like to study the radar.
Yep.
On the BOM website. Now, my wife would say I've got no clue, because when I generally study it before walking the dog, it invariably pisses down straight away. But I'm looking at it. It's just started raining here, and it's coming up from the southeast, and it's tracking right towards Homebush. I think it's clear right now where you are, but I think there might be rain approaching. So I'm just going to have my phone connected to you for most of the night, Sugar. If it's dry or even just a little bit wet, surely we're on the Panthers bus, are we?
Yeah, 100%. That is me tonight. So if the weather clear, track fine, I'm on the Panthers to cover. And I'm a big believer that, you know, if there's any kind of give in the ground, it's a bit slower. It certainly favours the less fit side, which I believe would be the Bunnies. If there's any kind of precipitation at a decent knot, I'm going to be on the Bunnies. How heavy are we talking down at Palace Carrington?
Not sure about Palace Carrington, but well, actually, you know what? It's actually just stopped raining outside. It's been pretty heavy, probably the last 15, 20 minutes, but I've had a look at I think it's only been less than a millimetre over at Olympic Park where the weather station, we're getting very technical with this weather chat, by the way.
No, but
I'm on a weather channel.
Yeah. There hasn't been a lot so far throughout the day. So, and you're telling me that it's been holding up, and the fields these days, they clear so quickly or drain so quickly. I think you really need a bit of a deluge during play for it to have a huge impact. So we'll wait and see. I'm with you. I mean, even if it's just a little bit of a rain downpour, I'm still with Penrith. Like, it's the same for both teams. They never make errors. They're just so clinical. It'd be nice having the Cleary kicking game in the wet, but I don't really think it's going to matter tonight. The line's 12.5, so it's big, but they can surpass that very, very quickly, the Panthers.
I kind of feel, Shawnee, like, you know, like we know South Sydney. Now the attention's on them. So you can blame the coach as much as you want, but he's gone. So now it's on you. So we kind of know they're going to come out absolutely brimming and flying to go, right? Hornby's made a lot of changes. The change that we haven't seen that I wanted to see was Walker and White in the halves. Yeah. Not to say that still won't happen, but I kind of feel if that doesn't happen, I want to be in Panther camp. But it's a big assignment. Like you can turn up ready to go, but for 80 minutes when the emotion's worn off, it's very hard to stay with this Panther side.
And I think, case in point, last week, the Cowboys at home deck, really hard to go up there and get a win against anyone. They probably couldn't have played any better. And the Panthers just defended. And as soon as they get the ball, they just go bang straight away. And I can see, like, the Bunnies are going to need some sort of monumental turnaround from what we've seen in the past, I think, for them to get anywhere near this side, even without Cleary. That's the sort of gulf between Penrith and the rest of the field, particularly the Bunnies at this stage. But for Bunny supporters, I hope it's a better night than I'm anticipating.
Hey, Shawnee, just for the punter's benefit, right? And when I ask this question, it all depends on who's the next man up. But what was the line with Cleary in versus him not being in? How much impact has he had on the market?
So it's moved about 3.5, 4 points. So it was about to hit 16. So it got put up at 15.5. That got back. So it was $1.80 minus 15.5. So that tells me it was about to hit 16. Bit of a key number, not huge. And then yesterday it hit 11.5, but it's been backed up to 12.5. So somewhere between 3 and 4. You know, I would usually say that he's worth more than that, but you throw in the opposition and the fact that it was a big line to start with. It's probably hard to argue with the market at this point with what it's worth. And we've seen the results without him the past 18 months because he has had a few injuries, missed a few games. They're just so good. So it's a scary thought getting against them.
Okay. Just looking at the reserve grade team who's here. If that's them, by the way, it might not be them. Oh, it could be. Dane Laurie's there. No Alamotti. So no Alamotti can be seen. He might be in the sheds getting taped up. I'm not quite sure, but maybe he is in the 17 for Penrith. Righto, tourist, on a Thursday at the start of the round, every single Thursday, we ask you to pick a button. Can you press the button, please, tourist?
Luck of the week.
Alamotti's here now, by the way. He's just come out. So it looks as though he's made an appearance for the reserve grade. Looks like that. Yeah, what a beast.
Perfect. Well, I'll tell you what we need to make an appearance, Sugar. A winning lock of the week. Because last week, it was, let's forget about it. I don't want to go there anymore. The Cowboys, -8.5 at home. I touched on them before. Couldn't have played any better last week. Still got close to Penrith, but lost the game. I think if they turn out half as good as what they did last week, I think it could be a bit of a score against the Dolphins. The Cowboys are my lock of the week. I mean, need a bit of a bounce back because it's had a rough start. It's had a rough few weeks.
Beautiful, mate. Anything else you like? Have you got any plays in the feed just yet?
Yes, I've been very busy on the feed this afternoon, so jump on. One of them might be the Cowboys, but there's another bet I found in that game. I won't give it away here. Jump on the feed. Sean, get him on side and check it out. Yep. Check Joel Kane out as well, full of green ticks.
Beautiful, mate. check out the Shawnee long-time history of great results. So all the best, mate. Maybe you can keep me posted on that southerly coming up with the rain. So hopefully we've got a clear night tonight with the Panthers staking the Bunnies. Good on you, Shawnee.
Thanks, team. Take care.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Run home with Joel and Michelle today, brought to you by the Hyundai Staria Load Van. You can drive away in a Hyundai Staria Load Van from $49,490. T's and C's apply. Plenty of rugby league news to get to, so let's do this.
It's an NRL news update. Subscribe to SEN League on YouTube and the SEN podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Okay, just a bit of team news. Nathan Cleary out of the clash with South. Penrith have pulled Nathan Cleary out of their clash with South Sydney. The 26-year-old felt some tightness afterwards of last week, and the Panthers are taking a cautious approach on a short turnaround ahead of Thursday's match. Meanwhile, Payne Haas and Katoni Staggs are in doubt for Friday night's blockbuster against the Roosters at Suncorp Stadium. Haas and Staggs will have fitness tests on game day after the test duo suffered fresh setbacks at Brisbane's captain's run on Thursday, continuing the Broncos' series of injury problems. So there's a couple to keep an eye on for this weekend. Meanwhile, in the Sydney Morning Herald, Andrew Johns writes, I'm not sure why Wayne Bennett wants to return to South Sydney. I'm still struggling to understand why Wayne Bennett wants to go back. He's smart. Deep down, he'll know the Rabbitohs are probably on the cusp of a rebuild. They've got ageing players who have a similar number of years left on their deals and with not a lot of upside. Wayne is a coach who needs and want success straight away. Is he really going to be able to get that at South Sydney? With the scarcity of jobs around the NRL, it's easy to see why he's entertaining it. Now, we said yesterday, Michelle, that
we touched on this,
that maybe he doesn't want it. He's not normally public around saying he wants to do something. The fact that he has said that, is that more of a cheeky wink at Parramatta to say, get your skates on?
And further to that, he's actually doubled down by saying, I wouldn't be talking to them if I wasn't interested. That was another comment made later on yesterday afternoon. But the fact of the matter is, we touched on it. He's been there, he's done that. And as much as Blake Solly said that he left there on great terms, he left there on great terms, but there was a couple that were not completely happy with Bennett that are still there. And I'm not talking players. I'm talking management. But also the fact that this is a big, this is a long turnaround. This is like, is it a 5-year plan? Is it a 6-year plan? Yeah. It's longer than 2 years. It's longer than getting, turn a few players over. Like I said, Mark Ellison is over in the UK. He's scouting players. That's sort of been well documented. Now I said he went to Wigan. And look, I believe he's also over there trying to see if he can drum up some interest to offload a couple as well.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. 24 hours on, Michelle. The question is simply this. 24 hours on from yesterday, do you believe that at this stage, your gut feel, is Wayne Bennett more likely to be the coach at South or not?
I honestly just, I will be surprised. I'm not saying, look, I could be totally wrong. I will be surprised that he'd be, look, money talks.
Yeah.
And I do understand some good contacts of mine as Russell Crowe's been on the phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to drum up business. And when you get a call from Russell, and even if you are a 74-year-old Wayne Bennett, you listen.
Starstruck, yeah.
And, you know, I guess for the right money, who knows?
I'm with you. I think it's less likely. I know that everyone seems to think it's a done deal.
I mean, we had people saying yesterday in 48 hours the deal would be done. From the people that I've got, you know, good contacts with that are very close to that, there hasn't even been like a proper conversation yet. So unless they, you know, get together tonight, and I'm not sure, but I can't. If I was a betting person, my 50 cents each way, yeah. I still don't think he's going to end up at the Bunnies.
Just logistically, right? So whether it's Parramatta or the next club, say, for example, there was a second club who wanted Wayne Bennett beyond South Sydney and they had to move quick. How does all this happen? Like, you've got a board of so many people, you risk sort of being the one that, you know, says that. How does this all start? I'm fascinated to know that, and even the South Sydney thing, like, how does, is somebody texting someone saying,
I can tell you that it would have already started, say at Parramatta, it would have already been started with the text messages and the pressure and a board member going, do you know this, and we need to move quickly on this, we've had 10 years of this.
Do you reckon there would have been at least one board member would have made that conversation? Is that what you think?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I'd love to. There'd be a great
doco
on that.
Tough situation right now for the Parramatta Eels in terms of Brad Arthur. I mean, he has lost, you know, key players in Gutherson,
yep,
and Mitch Moses. So, you know, you've got a feel for him for that. So the timing, well, not great, but their issue is it's been a decade. And they need results.
He can clearly coach. You got him to a grand final.
Of course he can coach.
It's no different to Magic South
Sydney. I'm a massive fan of Brad Arthur. Yeah. I'm not a massive fan of Brad Arthur at Parramatta.
No, that's right. And sometimes you have that, right? So there's very few coaches like Craig Bellamy who can turn up. You know Craig Bellamy, you take out the salary cap year. He's been there for, 21 years or something. Mm-hmm. We all know the record about round one. So clearly he gets him in good shape in the preseason. But you know his worst result is sixth. No, seriously. Outside the salary cap.
That's scary.
And they've all come and gone. So, yeah, you might say, oh, yeah, but they had Munster and they had Cooper Cronk and they had Billy Slater and they had Cameron Smith and they had... But you actually, no one knew of any of those players prior to him being the coach.
Hmm.
No one knew of Billy Slater.
Yep.
No one knew of Inglis.
That's just it. You know what? My big dream was, I think one of my sons is a really good footballer, not a superstar, but just the one percenters, does all that sort of stuff. Right, I'd give anything to use my contacts to go, Bellamy, can you just have a look at him? So if you're listening, Craig, he's out there. But in Fedingham, he turns average footballers or, you know, guys that have just got a bit of talent into team players, first of all, which I think is so important for sport and for a game like rugby league, and then superstars.
So you just, we'll never get to know the answer, but... If Billy Slater landed at the West Tigers and Cooper Cronk landed at Parramatta, and I just wonder, clearly they're top shelf players, but I really doubt whether they would have got to the absolute supremacy they did in the end. He's a superstar.
A good example this week is obviously Cam Munster. His attitude, still wanting to learn, rocks up at training, you know, wants to know everything. But Bellamy said, you know, he couldn't even tie his shoelaces when he went to Melbourne on his own. And Bellamy's brought him about. And he's a real character, knockabout sort of a bloke. He's been able to keep him measured.
Yep. Have you say 1300 011 70, the run home with Joel and the Bish. Welcome back to the run home with Joel and Michelle. Plenty of texts coming through. Woody from Brisbane, he says, the wily on Fox Wayne Bennett is more than likely dropping hints about South Sydney out there just to get all the media chatting about all sorts of things, and then he's sitting back on his porch smiling. Don't give it oxygen, it'll go away. Woody from Brisbane, that's what he thinks. Iron Wood, the leading supplier in recycling and reclaimed timber. Win up to $1,000 to spend in store. Visit iCanWin.com.au to enter. Coming up on the show still, Tom Hazelden from the Sharks, Morning Glory host Matty Johns, and Brisbane Bronco and Queensland halfback Ali Brigginshaw. To the news and back with plenty more.